As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Southern Gothic is a podcast that explores the history behind some of the American South's darkest days, greatest mysteries, and most chilling ghost stories. At 1:20 p.m. on Saturday, July 19, 1970, a fire broke out in an abandoned home in Hadsboro, Mississippi, a suburban neighborhood just east of downtown Gulfport. Dr. and Mrs. Kendall Gregory had lived in this three-story, 15-room residence with their children for about 12 years, but the previous summer they decided to downsize, and the subsequent devastation wrought by Hurricane Camille had rendered the house uninhabitable. So their house, which overlooked Bayou Bernard, sat boarded up ever since and was repeatedly vandalized by groups of teens to the tune of about $39,000 worth of damage. As such, the family had planned to bulldoze the property altogether, but the fire on that Saturday afternoon beat them to it, leaving nothing but its two tall chimneys, quote, rising up like specters from the burning ruins. The thing was, though, Mrs. Jenny Gregory wasn't really all that disappointed by the destruction itself. After all, they had planned to raise it themselves. Rather, she told the paper that her biggest regret was that the Psychical Research Foundation of Durham, North Carolina, whom she'd invited down to the property, didn't get there in time to investigate it. You see, the Gregory family believed that their house was haunted. And according to local lore, this fire that ultimately destroyed it had even been predicted by a psychic who had held a séance there about 9 months prior. While the Cahill Mansion has been gone for over half a century, the legend of the tortured spirits that once resided there remains in local lore to this very day, a direct result of some of the sensational coverage by newspapers of the building's fiery demise, which may or may not have had supernatural origins. My name is Brandon Schecksnyder. And you are listening to Southern Gothic. Dr. Kendall Gregory purchased the Cahill Mansion in 1957, and within days of moving into the home, his family started to feel as if there was something not quite right about the building, and that maybe they weren't the only ones there. His wife, Jenny, described it as an eerie feeling, as if someone was always with them, watching, and that unsettling air grew in intensity when, not long after, noises started to echo through the house during both the day and night.
My first feeling upon moving in was simply one of not being alone. I felt I was always being watched, and the noise at night, I finally started wearing earplugs to bed so I couldn't hear it.
The mysterious noises included everything from disembodied voices and footsteps wandering through uninhabited rooms to the much more chilling juxtaposition of the conflicting sounds of violent screams, panic-stricken moaning, and an unsettling laughter. Yet this was only the start of the Gregory's experiences there. Whatever or whoever was in that house manifested itself in ways that honestly seemed sort of like a poltergeist, but without a vengeful side to it, as we've seen in cases like the Surrency family ghost or even the Bell Witch. But as the name implies, the term poltergeist, translated directly from German, is knocking spirit. And that's what the Gregorys were forced to endure, with such events as periodic intense rapping on the walls and objects moving seemingly without cause. The family even reported one such instance of the light fixtures just dropping from the ceiling without any warning. In addition, they also made the strange claim that the walls of the home, quote, resisted being painted as if they were determined to remain as they always were. A number of apparitions also made themselves known at the house, including one of a transparent yet glowing boy. Another was that of a full-grown man who once appeared in the couple's bedroom, giving Mrs. Gregory quite the shock one night.
I woke up and he was standing there, his arms folded, looking amused by the whole thing. I turned my head and shut my eyes because I didn't believe it. But when I looked back, he was still there. Then he faded away.
One of the more unsettling things to occur happened to one of their children, and in retrospect, knowing the ultimate fate of the property, it kind of stands out a bit more. You see, it was an otherwise regular school day, and after returning home that afternoon, the young boy purportedly tossed his jacket onto the bed thoughtlessly, in a rather benign and mundane way, but to his surprise, out of nowhere, it burst into flames. But the most infamous of all of these paranormal events was what allegedly happened on November 22, 1963, the day that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. The family was out at the time, but when they returned home, they discovered that the curtains were drenched in blood, and the windows had bloody handprints and streaks smeared across the glass. This, of course, was a chilling enough sight on its own, but eerily, when they had the blood tested, it purportedly matched President Kennedy's blood type. Now, y'all, how true this one is, I couldn't tell you, as this particular part of the tale only seems to appear in more modern tellings, and for such a fantastic event as this to have occurred, it is noticeably absent from the newspapers that started covering the haunting as early as 1969, right after the doctor and Mrs. Gregory decided to leave. Some said they did it because the large house was just too big for them and they were ready to downsize. But most obviously like to say they did it because they were tired of dealing with the paranormal. Well, not long after they left and the infamy of the home had spread, a gentleman named Dr. David N. Buber came to town to investigate the claims. Buber was a Baptist minister from Tennessee and a self-proclaimed psychic who, for years, had not only been giving lectures all over the South on occult topics like ESP, but also growing his popularity by making predictions that folks believed were coming true.
According to a host church spokesman, the Reverend Mr. Buber gained attention last fall by predicting a drought and failure for the wheat crop in the Midwest. He urged Mississippi Delta planters to recover their cotton losses by planting every acre in wheat. Several of the large plantation owners followed his advice and now say that they will reap one of the richest wheat crops in history.
So on Saturday, December 13th, 1969, Dr. Buber and his wife Gwen, a medium who claimed to be able to receive messages from spirits, conducted a séance at the Gregory's abandoned home. They were joined by 20 others, including Jenny Gregory, former owner Mrs. Cahill, two newspaper reporters, and a healthy mix of skeptics and believers alike. But you can imagine what the atmosphere was when they arrived at about 8 p.m. on that cold December night. Not only did the three-story structure no longer have electricity, requiring the group to shuffle around in the darkness with flashlights and lanterns, but the interior likely seemed terrifying in the shadows of that flickering light after being viciously vandalized over the previous months. There was even, quote, red paint on several walls, which had a startling resemblance to splattered blood, and many of the windows and mirrors had been shot out, exposing those inside to the chill of the nighttime air. So their only source of warmth was a downstairs fireplace that they lit upon entering, but only dimmed as the night drew on. At about 8:30 p.m., Dr. Buber asked for silence, and he began playing music. The psychic, his wife, and Mrs. Gregory sat at a small table, while the others formed a circle around them and held hands. Then, Buber addressed the crowd.
"We are about to investigate happenings connected with the invisible concerning use of energies in forms we don't understand. A person's spirit never dies. You cannot destroy your spirit any more than you can destroy energy. The spirit in a living body is energy. So the spirit in an energy form exists even outside the human body. We must realize when a spirit leaves the body, it doesn't necessarily go a long way off, but goes instead into another dimension. Attitude has to change in a person, equally so in his spirit, before he can obtain a better surrounding. Spirits who have developed a higher attitude will know there is a better dimension. The spirits we might contact here tonight evidently do not know of this better dimension, so they, therefore, have stayed in this one place."
He then began to conduct a séance, asking the spirits in the home to make themselves known. At first, there was nothing. No sound, no acknowledgement. But eventually, the table where they sat began to move. In response, Dr. Buber attempted to use that to communicate with the spirit. First, he asked yes or no questions, instructing whomever or whatever it was they were dealing with to move the table one way for yes and another for no, and the results were shocking. The crowd gasped as the table moved and seemingly hovered over the floor. So Buber continued.
"Please tap once if you want to talk to us."
Distinct taps then echoed through the empty house. But it was what came next that was truly chilling. The psychic reverend seemed to slip into a trance and began speaking as if he were possessed by someone or something else. He then told tales of the house's past in a voice that was not his, and he spoke names that only the families who lived there would know. And eventually, he began telling the story of a young woman named Flossie, as if he were in fact Flossie. According to the Spirit, she had been brought back to this property during World War II when the Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi rented it for use as a non-commissioned officers' club. It was then that an unscrupulous sergeant trafficked women in from Louisiana to this building. Through Buber, Flossie told onlookers that she had become pregnant while there and was forced to have an abortion before being murdered. And worst of all, she claimed she wasn't the only one to have experienced such brutality. Buber then concluded the night with a prophecy, boldly stating that the old building where they sat would one day meet its end engulfed in a sea of flames, releasing these souls. Of course, little did anyone realize that night that his prophecy would be fulfilled in less than a year. However, questions remain to this very day who or what was there in the Cahill Mansion and if in fact it was haunted. Were the spirits that Buber claimed to have interacted with the same ones that had tormented the Gregorys for all those years? And if so, were they the cause of the fire on July 18, 1970? Y'all, I want to take a quick minute to tell you about one of my favorite nonprofit organizations here in Middle Tennessee. It's called Poster Nashville. Now, this organization supports people during times of housing or medical crises by providing compassionate, temporary care for their pets. That's right. Poster helps secure loving homes for beloved little furballs when their human companions are going through things that might otherwise cause them to have to give them up. But since Poster began back in 2020, they've been able to reunite nearly 250 pets with their loving pet parents after they were able to secure housing, keeping families together through tough times. Of course, y'all, I have to say from personal experience, it's been an awesome program to be around. My kids and I have been fortunate enough to hang out with some of the pups, and trust me, what Poster is doing through a devoted network of volunteers is absolutely heartwarming. So if you'd like to help, Poster is in the middle of their annual fundraiser right now, trying to hit a goal of $20,000, and it would mean the world to me if you'd consider helping us get there. All you gotta do is visit southerngothicmedia.com/bark. That's right, southerngothicmedia.com/bark.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Haunting legend blazed into history Saturday afternoon when the three-story wood-frame Kendall D. Gregory home at 10 Kimball Drive, Hansboro, erupted into flames that rapidly licked away a once-glorious home, at the same time fulfilling a prediction made 9 months ago that the house will be destroyed by fire.
Days following the Cahill Mansion's demise, newspapers from all over the Gulf Coast leaned into the ghostly reputation of the home, boasting headlines like "Last Ghost of Haunted House Becomes Fire" and "Cahill House Destroyed in Fire, Spirits Free." Biloxi's Sun-Herald even posted a photo on its front page that captured the image of local firemen fighting the blaze amidst an overwhelming amount of smoke with the caption, "Firemen her ghost. It's hard to say when exactly tales of the house's haunting actually started, as I couldn't find any primary or secondary sources prior to Boober's arrival in Gulfport. However, Mississippi native Trista Herring Bowman states on her website, Mississippi Folklore, that if you grew up in Gulfport's Bayou View neighborhood in the 50s or 60s, chances are you've heard stories of the house. And that statement does sort of align with the timeline included in the legend itself, as well as the purported history of the home as outlined in that 1970 edition of the Sun Herald, which claimed, quote, "A generation of Coast young people have grown up under the whispered rumor that the old Cahill house is haunted." The structure, which is both known as the Cahill House or the Cahill Mansion, depending on who was reporting, was built in 1915 by William Stewart. As I said, it stood 3 floors tall, it had 15 rooms, and featured an enclosed outside porch that ran along the second floor by the bedrooms, with access from the bedrooms. The primary bedroom on the second floor was exceptionally large, and it was located directly above the house's also unusually large den. Both the kitchen and living room were also on the first floor, and the living room is where that fireplace was we talked about a few minutes ago. Now, as I said, some people call it a mansion, and for its size, it certainly fits the bill, but in all honesty, the house was fairly plain-looking, and it didn't really exude the extravagance that the term mansion might otherwise invoke. Well, in the first few decades of its existence, several different families called the place home, and there was no indication of a tragic event or a haunted occurrence there. But in 1941, the Keesler Air Force Base did in fact rent the property, and as I described earlier, it became a club for non-commissioned officers. Now, the purported story goes that a sergeant of dubious character took over the place and moved gambling equipment into the main bedroom and started bringing women to the property who were often described as prostitutes in lore, but from the way folks tell the tale, seem much more like victims of sex trafficking. Eventually, though, the sergeant's superiors realized what was going on and they shut the place down. Now, again, as I said earlier, how much of this is true, we really don't know, but as Trista Bowman suggested, this was the story that was going around Gulfport as early as the 1950s, right after it would have happened, so there is likely at least a semblance of fact in there. After Keesler stopped renting the home, a prominent local figure named Dr. Cahill purchased it for his family. It's unknown if they experienced any paranormal phenomenon while living there, but in 1953, they were the unfortunate victims of the only documented tragedy on the property. Dr. and Mrs. Cahill's 14-year-old son, Richard, was killed while operating a tractor. The Cahills did not stick around much longer after that, but obviously their legacy has remained in the name. Of course, some folks have speculated that the apparition of the boy witnessed by the Gregorys there just might have been this young man's spirit trapped in the home. The day after the fire decimated the property in 1970, Gulfport's Daily Herald contacted Dr. Boober for his opinion as to what had happened, and he told them that he was, quote, "delighted that place has burned down, as it will free those poor unfortunate entities that have been trapped there." He claimed that small fires like the jacket incident had taken place at the residence numerous times over the years, and he insinuated that it might be the spirits themselves trying to break free, so this was a blessing. Of course, a skeptic might also note that at the same time, Boober's own interests aligned with the fire. After all, he claimed to know that the fire was going to happen over 9 months prior. And that might be what the state's fire marshal was thinking after receiving the call from Gulfport Fire Superintendent Hugh Haney. As soon as Haney arrived at the blaze, he felt as if something was off, and he said that same day that the, quote, suspicious nature of the fire required a serious investigation into its cause, particularly because of where they found the fire's origin to be. The same room where several locals had gathered the night before to conduct a séance. So, was this fire of a supernatural origin, or was it arson? Did Dr. David N. Buber, the up-and-coming psychic celebrity, predict the tragedy, or did he perpetrate a hoax? Well, whatever happened, the story put Buber in the spotlight like never before, and over the following years, his popularity continued to rise. He gave lectures all over the country and became a mildly sought-after figure in the psychic community, and even released a recording on vinyl in 1973 called Psychic Sitting. Unfortunately, y'all, it ain't streaming anywhere. I swear I tried to find it. But then, in 1975, the celebrity psychic's career came to a screeching halt in a way that might shed a little more light on the legacy of the Cahill House. You see, Buber had been going around making kind of crazy prophecies of all types, and one of those just so happened to be that a rubber plant in Connecticut would be destroyed by fire. Pretty familiar, right? But it turned out that the reason he knew it was going to happen was because he was part of the plan to make it happen. The Reverend Psychic was arrested, charged, and eventually found guilty on 4 federal charges in what was the FBI's largest arson case to date. Now, does this mean the fire back in Hansboro, Mississippi was his fault as well? Some people think so, claiming that everything about the Cahill House was a hoax. But there is another possibility, and that's that the Gregory family really experienced a true haunting over the course of their 12 years in that house. But in the end, Jenny Gregory was taken advantage of by Dr. Buber as she innocently tried to make sense of that supernatural presence in her life. In 1989, a new house was built on the property where the Cahill House once sat. And while no reports of the paranormal have been made public at this time, it hasn't stopped the legend of the haunting from continuing to be told in Gulfport over 50 years after the home's charred remains were cleared away. My name is Brandon Schecksnyder, and you are listening to Southern Gothic. Southern Gothic is an independent podcast produced by siblings Brianne and Brandon Schecksnyder. If you're a fan of the show and would like more content, be sure to join us over on Patreon, or become a premium subscriber on the Apple Podcast app. There, you'll receive access to both ad-free and monthly bonus episodes. For more info on Southern Gothic, be sure to visit southerngothicmedia.com today. And as always, thanks for listening.
Lucky Lady Shacks.
Let Mysteries at Midnight be your destination for detective whodunits and captivating mystery stories. You'll hear classic stories like Sherlock Holmes, Agatha Christie's Poirot, and short tales from H.G. Wells, Charles Dickens, Edgar Allan Poe, and others. I'm Christopher, and I read these classic stories in the soothing style of a bedtime story, so you can listen to them in bed when you drift off to sleep. Search for Mysteries at Midnight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app, and follow and subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes.